Well, this morning, friends, we're beginning a sermon series looking at the four first chapters of the book of Acts. And Acts is a really exciting chapter, section of the Bible. I hope all the scriptures are exciting, but particularly Acts, because we see the mission of the Lord progressing, continuing on. And what is our part in the Lord's mission? I think we need encouragement to keep at it. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Jesus' mission continues. By your Spirit and through your word, Heavenly Father, convince us of this and convict each of us about what our part is in it. To the praise of your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, my conversion story is pretty simple. There was a message and there were messengers. Each of us, I trust, knows the details of our conversion story. Each of us, I trust, has become convinced of the assessment of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each of us, I trust, knows how God in his infinite kindness did not leave us like that forever. He gave his only son, the person who his sinless life never fell short. Through Jesus Christ alone is forgiveness from God for our sin, and he summons from the Lord of history to turn to him, rely on him 100% and be rescued from yourself and the wrath of God. What is your conversion story? We live in unprecedented times. Never before has the potential for conversion been ever greater. Someone who's working in a Filipino rice paddy can hear a Sri Lankan pastor in Australia give a message. The transport has never been better to take messengers around the globe. Never have there been more messengers to communicate the message. In an expanding world, the population's never been greater. The harvest is plentiful, but still the workers are few. Today, Jesus' mission continues. What began 2,000 years ago sees over 2.4 billion people around the globe identifying themselves as Christian. Here is the percentage of the people around the world in countries who identify themselves as Christian. And in Australia, from the 2016 census, it was only last year, about 52% of Australians claimed or identified that they were Christian, 52%. Now take a closer look at this. This has been census data that's been taken from 1901 through to 2016. It's the percentage of people with religious affiliation. Now the blue guys are the Anglicans. 13% of the population in 2016 said that they were of Anglican connection, religious affiliation. And the red guys, Catholic, about 22% from the 2016 census. And then there are other religious denominations, other Christian denominations rather, other religions in the yellow. And then people, of course, there's always the blanks who say nothing on the census form. They just say, no, they don't state anything. But then there's the green category. No religion. And you can see, can't you, where the growth has been and where some of the decline has been. How are you feeling? What started with Jesus travelling all over Palestine, proclaiming God's kingdom is at hand, doing what only God can do. His mission was always to reach Jerusalem, to suffer there, to die there, to rise to new life on the third day. What started with him continues with him. His mission continues. And what we're going to see this morning is this from Acts chapter 1. Jesus' mission continues through his apostles, through his agenda, through his ascension, and Jesus' mission continues through us. Well, first, Jesus' commission continues through his apostles. And having written the first account to most excellent Theophilus, Luke gives us his second volume to Theophilus. Now, Theophilus is probably a fellow, he's a Gentile, he's probably a person who's influential, probably a wealthy to-do guy, well-known to Luke, the sort of person that you want to get connected with to get the message out there, out into the world. It's strategic, isn't it? Because, you see, the Gentiles know nothing. They're pagan. And Luke aims to get the former account, all that Jesus began to teach and to do, and now Acts into Gentile hands through this person, Theophilus. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. And by the way, if Luke says in his gospel there all that Jesus began to do and to teach right up to his ascension into heaven, the implication is pretty clear, isn't it? If he began to do all of that, then all that Jesus began to do and teach continues. His mission continues through the apostles. Now, I probably had 20 days with the 11, with the Mittagong soccer team as a coach of the under-10s. Now, I just want you to imagine that this team is going to be the best team in Mittagong. Who's laughing here? But then again, I want this team to be the best team in Sydney. But then they're going to travel in New South Wales, and then they're going to be the best team in Australia, the under-10 Mittagong soccer team. And imagine, why are people laughing here? Qualifying for the World Cup next year and win it. The Mittagong under-10 soccer team. Now, you sort of say to me, that's some goal and that's some joke. Fair enough. Well, just think with me what Jesus is doing with this 11 for over 40 days. And from a human point of view, what a massive responsibility to give them. Take the gospel all through Jerusalem, all through Judea. Take the gospel all through Samaria and go to the ends of the earth. I mean, you're starting a business, right? And you're getting a few workers together for your business, and you get them all together, you're going to make a start, and you say, listen, we're going to take this thing to every person in the planet. Unless you're in the business of donuts, forget it. That's a massive task, isn't it, for the 11? And basically they're powerless. They're a bunch of working men. Seven of them are fishermen, uneducated. Think about their track record. Jesus once described them, ye of little faith. They don't even have the faith to go next door, let alone Jerusalem. What about the globe? Once Jesus asked them, stay awake, they fell asleep. And Jesus rose from the dead and he asked them to go to Galilee and to wait for him. Well, they went to Galilee, but they didn't wait. They went back to their occupations. And then they seem really impatient, don't they? And let me say, friends, if you're going to take this thing to the ends of the earth, you're going to need a lot of patience. They're asking Jesus to restore the kingdom to Israel. Now, we want to know now, is it going to be this weekend or next week? If these 11 are going to pull this thing off, something massive will need to happen to them. We're on the launch pad. And the countdown is on, and Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, and he's doing 101 biblical theology with the 11. Because, you see, he's preparing them for mission. And notice what he's doing with them. He's making sure that they have the right message of the kingdom of God, about the rule of God, that there's nothing outside the sovereign Lord Almighty's rule in the universe, and that the Lord must be king of people's lives individually, personally. And he's making real sure, isn't he, that they've got the right confidence about him. That he's really alive. He's really risen from the dead. And he proved it again and again. And really, when you think about it, one of the most convincing proofs that Jesus really was alive was that he just picks up where he left off. He's always been talking about the kingdom of God. He's always been living for the kingdom of God. And here he is doing it again. That's the theme. That's the topic, isn't it? Beyond all question, they knew he was alive. So there they are, equipped with the right message and equipped with the convincing proofs, the evidence. So they're right to go. And we read here, he says, wait. Wait for the gift promised by my Father. Some of Jesus' final words before his death was that the Father would give them another comforter, another helper to be with you. Well, they must wait a few days until they're submerged or immersed in the Holy Spirit. And those of us who read the Bible, we know it's Day of Pentecost, isn't it? This is because they need power, verse 8 there. The mission is just too demanding for human strength alone. They need the Spirit of God to empower the witness. If Jesus' mission is going to go through the apostles, they need the right message and the right confidence. They need the right power. Because the task is just way beyond human capability. They need to wait for a necessary power, the baptism of the Spirit. The scriptures exhort believers to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's the same thing as being dominated by the Word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, says Paul in Colossians 3. You know it and you love it and you live it. Christians receive God's Spirit at conversion. His gift, we don't plead for the Spirit, we don't hope for the Spirit, we don't look for the Spirit. The Spirit is the gift for everyone who believes, given the moment of conversion. We are people marked by the Holy Spirit, and that means we are to keep on daily being filled with the Holy Spirit for the service as Christians for Christ, the necessary power to live for Christ. So Jesus' mission to the apostles, through the apostles, that's the first point. The second thing we want to look at today is Jesus' mission continuing through his agenda. Look with me at verses 6 to 8 here in this passage. So they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. You all sort of understand where they're coming from, don't you? The Old Testament age is over. They've concluded he's the Messiah, he's gone up to Jerusalem. This is it. This is the moment. But their hopes are dashed. He suffers, he dies in Jerusalem, but now he's alive. This is it. He's now talking about the Spirit. That's what Joel talked about. That's what Ezekiel talked about. The Spirit in the last days. Peter, James and John saw him on the mountain of Transfiguration and they got a glimpse of his glory. This is it. It's natural for them to want to know, when is Israel going to be saved and restored to that dominant nation, like in the days of King David and Solomon? Well, Jesus corrects the thinking. It's none of your business when that's going to happen. Instead, Jesus' mission continues through his agenda. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That word witness is actually the word that we get, you know the word we get for it? Martyr. That's because So many witnesses for Jesus Christ gave their life for him. It was an alien message. The Jews hated it. The Gentiles thought it was nonsense, telling people that they are going to perish in their sin. Preaching the gospel. They were persecuted and they were martyred. Now, friends, I probably don't need to tell you, we live in times very much like this first century time. There was a time when we had cultural Christianity in our nation. There was a morality coming out of the Bible that was widely understood. It was known as the Judeo-Christian ethic. But we're just sort of seeing those days dwindling. No longer does it find widespread toleration in our society. There's resistance to it and antagonism. For example, as people who believe what the Bible says, we would hold to a creation mandate. In other words, what God says goes. But this is now at odds with many that no longer see the relevance of him. People's rejection of God results in his rejection of them. God hands them over to their wisdom and their lifestyle. And friends, you and I would be right there if it was not for his mercy to rescue us from ourselves. We are no better. We may have many unbelieving friends who do not know their left hand from their right hand as far as the things of God are concerned. They do not know grace amazing. They do not know their need for Christ. They do not know the eternal consequences of their rejection and their ignorance. I don't know about you, but it increasingly feels like we're living like aliens in an increasingly anti-Christian culture. And Jesus' mission continues. His agenda remains. Now, the apostles are called by the risen Lord Jesus to be his witnesses. And like our culture today, it's going to be as aliens facing persecution. But that's how the church grows. That's how it expands in the world. That's what Luke in Acts is telling us. On the front of your handout this morning, you have all the chapters of Acts sort of broken up into regions describing the spread of the church. And one of the wonderful things we find from Acts here is this, that it's not that people come into Jerusalem to find the blessings of God. It's actually as the message of sins forgiven and the Lord Jesus Christ goes out and is believed that people from every nation receive the blessings of God. You have these two wonderful themes running through Jesus' agenda for his mission. His witnesses will face opposition, even martyrdom, for taking up his cause. And secondly, his witnesses will be used to bring blessing to the ends of the earth. Well, third, Jesus' mission continues through his ascension. And his disciples witness something that's just out of this world. Jesus, right before their eyes, goes up on a cloud and is hidden from their sight. He's gone into heaven there to reign at God's right hand. He is the King of Kings there, the judge over heaven and earth. All earthly rulers are accountable to him. He is our great high priest who enters into the Holy of Holies. He is the head of the body of the church. He has authority to pour out the Spirit on the church. And God's verdict is in on his son. I have installed my king. Submit to him, or else. Now, that's what the apostles later understood. But what's being proclaimed to the crowds comes later. But they're here gazing up, aren't they? Gazing up. They're getting sunburnt mouths, gaping into the sun. Guys, you're not losing him. He went away in a cloud. He's coming back with the clouds. I mean, if ever there's a motive to get on with the task of mission, there it is. He's coming back. He's coming suddenly. He's coming unexpectedly. Quickly. Guys, why are you standing around staring up? When he comes back, he will meet you personally and there will be a full reward. Jesus' mission continues through his apostles and through his agenda and through his ascension. And finally, Jesus' mission continues through us. Do you think of yourself as a witness to Christ? We didn't see him banish sickness or disease or evil spirits out of Palestine. We didn't see that. We didn't see him institute the Lord's Supper. We didn't see him arrested. We didn't see Jesus die on the cross. We didn't see him rise from the dead. We didn't see him ascend into heaven. We aren't witnesses like him, like them. Their role is different, unique. But like them, we are believers. And we have the Holy Spirit. It is their witness that we are to share with the world of the risen Christ, who is the Lord of history. Early next year, as I mentioned, the students from Moore College are going to be joining us in this Jesus Is mission. And our first prayer was at the on Wednesday evening for the mission. We began together to pray that the Lord would continue his mission here through us. It's a mission for all of us to be involved in. At the moment, before us, men, we have the dinner. That's an opportunity for us to reach men that we know to come and join us. I've been trying to reach the men in the soccer coaching role there and inviting them to the dinner. And we've got a few guys here amongst us who are going to be heading up tables and inviting their mates to be there. Please sign up. Steve Wakeford's the speaker. It'll be a great night of hearing about Jesus, continuing his mission there. Please pray. People will come. But there are many ways and different ways that Jesus' mission continues. And here are just three quick examples. Our youth minister, assistant minister Steve McKenzie, is trying to reach youth in our community. Please pray for him and the team as they continue in Jesus' mission to reach young people. John O'Mills and the team preparing kids at Mac here on Tuesday afternoons here. And our scripture teachers every week on Tuesday and Thursdays going into the local schools, continuing Jesus' mission. Please pray for the work. Incredibly, 2,000 years ago, the mission of Jesus continued through those apostles. And today, the gospel of the Lord Jesus circles the globe like never before. It goes to the ends of the earth like never before. Never before has there been a time when we have been closer to the Lord Jesus coming back. You and I might never go to Chile like the Haddons, or Fiji like Grace, or the other side of the nation like the Knights have in Port Hedland. But are we convinced that where we are is where Jesus' mission continues? Through us. What is your conversion story? There is a message. There are messengers. I don't want to be standing up looking up at the sky, wondering. I don't want to be too distracted by big events. I don't want to be too discouraged by people's opinions, too busy to care, too concerned about my own well-being. Jesus is coming back, and his mission continues today. Ask him to continue his mission through you. And the Jesus' mission earlier next year is going to be a great opportunity for us to be together in doing that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please stir us up. Convince us of the continuing mission of Jesus. Help us to find our part. Keep us labouring in this great work and knowing the joy that awaits. Please bring many people into your kingdom and use us as a church. Use the Jesus is mission. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to depend on your Spirit and your word to do the work, to use people even like us. Thank you for your ever-growing kingdom around the globe. We pray it will continue. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.